Där, we're on. Okej.
Okay. Spelar vi in?
Vi spelar in.
Är vi live?
Som vanligt.
Nu kör vi. Ja. Vi sitter i Mexiko.
Alltså, eller står du? Står du i Mexiko?
Vi ska precis grilla. Vi ska ha en barbecue ikväll vid dykcentret. Vi har dykt cenotes, vi har dykt hajdyk, vi har dykt korallrev. Vi har varit på små öar och stora öar.
Ja,
riktigt bra dykningar har varit. Och varmt som ingen bänge. Gud vad skönt det är. Sand mellan tårna. Men idag har vi något väldigt speciellt.
Ja. Och för, ja, precis. Vi har speciellt. Vi har ju gjort den här Shark Observer-kursen är det, som vi har gått här nere. Yeah. Och där har vi då lärt oss lite mer om hur man observerar hajar, deras beteende och hur man ska agera framförallt när man möter haj. Vilket då är, det kan vara bra med tanke på att de här, det var tjuvar vi dök med nu.
Ja, och stora,
stora sådana också. De är muskulösa och de är helt fantastiska. De är jävligt coolt att komma nära dem. Hur nära var vi? 3 centimeter?
Cirka. Ja, det är, ibland kändes det som man fick nästan bön i blixtarna.
Ja, exakt.
Det är riktigt häftigt.
Exakt. Jo men, och som sagt återigen, det är inte lite, det är, ja, inte PK direkt.
Nej, det ska vi förvarna vissa, vi är inte politiskt korrekta. Det här är våran podd, det är våran podd, vi gör på vårat sätt.
Precis. Men i alla fall, varför vi ska göra detta är ju lite grann snacka om hajar då, va? Eller hur? Hajar du?
Ja, kul. Ja, du var rolig.
Ja, exakt.
Nej, vi har med oss en väldigt speciell kille och det var han som tog oss igenom hela kursen.
Ja.
Och han har mycket mer kunskap om hajar än vad vi har.
Så vi ska snacka lite grann med honom. Yeah. Det här kommer bli på engelska dock.
Ja, ja. Det ska bli en premiär.
Så
vi får se hur det går.
All right, so this is the English version.
Yes.
And now, welcome, Carlos.
Hi, how are you?
We are fine, and you are?
Very, very good.
Very,
very
good.
Happy to be here.
Yeah,
we were so happy to dive with you, man. It was really a thrilling experience. We really liked it. We have loads of questions for you. One
yes,
is...
Please, shoot away.
With the bull sharks, how long have you been doing this?
The original version started way before me.
Yeah.
The owner of the dive shop where I work, Phantom Divers, his name is Jorge Loria. We all call him Chino.
Yeah.
All right. He started this. His father started the company. Then he took it. And then how the bull shark started before was, we gotta understand that Playa del Carmen used to be a very, very little fisherman village. Very few people. Where we are right now, it used to be just coconut palm trees and sand. Nothing around this. I'm talking to you about 15 years ago, 15, 16 years ago. And those times, the diving here was very, very small. So every once in a while, you had one or two divers that wanted to go out diving. And then the rest of the week, it was just party town and fishing and woohoo, like a pirate's town, right? In those days, when the winter came, part of the dive packages, if we could go back in time, I would offer you, instead of a bull shark dive, I would offer you tank dive with a spear gun tour mixed together so we can catch some fish, bring it up, cook it for everybody, and then come back to the beach and have some beers and party up. That was the diving industry of Playa del Carmen. In the winter time, when they started fishing, they started seeing that sharks used to show up very, very far away, but they were very drawn to the noises and the fish dying and all that commotion. And people started like, ooh, we would like to see them again. Can we go try this again? And then the next year they were started, you know, with phone calls, are the bull sharks around? Have they come back? And that's how the bull shark dive started. Many years later, I came here to Playa del Carmen to live. The owner is a good friend of my family and he just, you know, basically told me, would you like to work for me? And then it just basically clicked. I think it was meant to be because we clicked at the same time when we were moving in directions and boom, I ended up here. Months later, we became really, really good friends and diving partners. He took me one day, he said, hey Charlie, why don't we go look for sharks? So here we go, of course. I'm already a little crazy already, so everything that has to do with extreme things, I'm in. So potentially killing me, yes, I'm in. No, just kidding. But just like to do all those kinds of extreme sports. So I was in right there. We went out, we killed the fish, and then it was just a big commotion all over the place. And sooner or later, boom, 9 sharks showed up. Something that never happened. They used to see only 1, 2 the max, and really far away. That day, for some reason, we had 9 sharks really close and very, very agitated. And we were like, woohoo, all excited. We come out of the water and everybody was like, yeah. Just so much thrill and emotion. And it in any of that moment, I've never seen another shark or another shark, you know, one of those deadly sharks and all those things that, you know, people tell you, your parents, the TV, everything. I've never seen one of those sharks. I've always seen nurse sharks, and I found them beautiful, but never seen a really tough one, right? And when I saw those, just those bull sharks, it changed my whole life. It changed my perspective out of everything. I fell in love, and at that moment, I didn't know that I wanted to do something for them or to eat, but I just knew that I just fell in love with them. The raw power and beautiful and just pure aesthetics of the fish is just so amazing.
Yeah, and this is something we have felt every briefing you've had with us, every time you talk about the sharks, we can really feel your love for the sharks.
Yes, man.
This inspires us also.
And
it's really good.
This is, like I say, I didn't know there. I just knew that I was in love with the sharks. Then years later, when I was doing the shark dive. After that day, sorry, I'm gonna go back a little bit. When we came out of the boat and we were like, woo, shouting our butts off, I was like, hey, why don't we feed them? Why don't we just go and feed them? And then my boss said, well, would you do that? And I said, well, yes, for sure, let's do that. How do we do this? And we just started throwing, you know, brainstorming. And I said, well, every day I see local fishermen right there on the beach that I go in the boat to work every day. I see them bringing back lots of fish. And they clean them, and all those guts, they throw them away. And I said, well, why don't we use that? We don't have to spend. We're just trying, right? We put them inside somewhere, and we go out and chum. I didn't know even the word chumming was existed in that time. We did not know anything about shark diving or industries or procedures or anything. It was all cowboys and Indians, class one. and it was so crazy. But anyway, we went the next day. I gathered 9 heads of amberjack, a big, juicy fish. And we took them over there to the same place. And it's so unbelievable that the sharks remember already our engine sound. They were right there. The same 9 sharks were already there. Not even when we put our heads in the water, they were already there. And it was so amazing. And that's when I saw, and that's when I first remembered to say, man, these creatures are intelligent. There has to be something in there that it's just intelligent out of that. Because there's no way out of nowhere of all this water they're gonna time it, know it, feel it. I don't know. And that's when I started getting interested in their physiology, biology, and that's when I started getting a new book and reading a little bit of that. And that's what also moved all of our dive shop to progress and into doing something. We got really, really interested, curious about how long do they live? Where do they go? What do they do? So in 2006, after, I'm gonna just fast forward in time because from cowboys and Indians, it's just so much things to talk about, you know? From cowboys and Indians, we started seeing how the sharks were teaching us things that were wrong. When we saw that, I used to bring down 3 buckets of those big buckets of paint, you know, the big lid ones?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, like 20 liters or something of paint. Those guys, full, man, but full of ridiculous amount of blood and guts. And that, we used to think it was the best because, of course, we thought the more blood, the better. We're talking about sharks, right? But it was the wrong message. It got them really, really excited, really, really frantic. Oof, man, I used to dance like, whoa, whoa, and freaking sharks biting at my fins and stuff and just pushing away. They stole a few of them. Some of them, we never saw them again. We still keep one bucket with the exact cut, like in a cartoon, on the bucket, and the teeth marks and everything is perfect. One bite, man, boom, out. They're so, so strong. But anyway, fast forward in time, all of those lessons then got us more interested in become better as offering something better for tourism. We were doing something that is something that you do with your friends, right? Not what you do with tourists. So that's when we start to get a little worried about safety rules, and that's when we start seeing and observing the yellow fins. Sharks were kind of checking them out, or our just nice shiny legs, and the sharks were like, ooh, what's that, you know? And that's when we started implementing all these procedures and rules, and we were moving fast forward, but the whole community of Playa del Carmen wasn't. They were still doing the same things that we were doing before, and it was very getting very dangerous. And that's when we start getting concerned of, if somebody gets bitten here, is of course it's going to be game over for us, but we were more concerned what would happen for the sharks. We know that in Mexico, if something like that would have happened, authorities would go say, close it, go kill everything, close it down, I don't want to know anything about it. Because yes, they're right. If tourists start reading in the news that there's been shark bites in Playa del Carmen, they're not going to come. It's not their fault. It's that there's a wrong mistake understanding of them that way, right? But that's what are you going to risk for a couple of tourists or millions of tourists? You know, you got to also understand the authorities. That's why, that's when we start saying, okay, we need to start doing it. We need to start expanding this. We need to start telling people what to do, what to wear, because this is for everybody. We were fighting and there was a lot of arguments and jealousy and heroes and all those things, egos all over the type. There's 65 dive shops right here in the downtown. And now...
it's more streamlined. You got everybody...
Exactly. Now, after meetings and fightings and discussions and all of that, with the help of Saving on Sharks, our brother company that is with the project that I'm going to talk about that, finally we got everybody to start talking to each other and saying, okay, we think that you guys from Phantom Divers are not kidding about this now after 5 years. We think that you're actually trying to do something, right? And that's when we start working together with all those rules and all those procedures that we talked about in certification.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And when did you start involving the specialty course, the Shark Observer course?
We had the curiosity that if we could make some sort of certification with the associations or any other association, right? The thing is that because it's a very, very sensible topic.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Of course, dive schools would don't want to get involved with, because if something happens, because somebody's not practicing the right standards or the right procedures, then it will be something that is not good for them. So instead of we wanted to have a tool to teach legally people to do it right, but then we didn't find that way. But at least we said, okay, if we're not going to be able to teach them how to feed, at least teach them how to address properly the situation, how to control emergencies, what to wear, what to do, experience, and all of these things. So that's when I found out that distinctive specialty body, that you can do all those kinds of things, and that's when I decided to write down a simple course, and also to involve people or invite people to involve in it, just not just to learn, but also to help our project.
Exactly.
Because you also have this SOS.org.
Yes.
Save Our Sharks.
SavingOurSharks.org started in 2006. It was a big, major concern about what can we do to save our sharks, to do something for them. Because sadly, somebody from a nearby town, from Puerto Morelos, found out, he was a local fisherman from there, and with every right, decided to come and take some sharks out, because that's what he has been doing for the last 30 years. He doesn't really need to, because he has a lot of other incomes, but whatever, that's what he loves to do, all right? And so, caught a lot of sharks, big problem. We went and talked to him personally, my boss went and sat down with him and talked to him and said, hey man, look, we have this thing, this project going in Playa del Carmen, and it involves these sharks that you came and fish, all right? The whole industry here will be surviving and living and working. A lot of families will be getting benefit out of this, but if you catch them, then they go away and then nobody gets anything. But you will get, yes, your $500, da 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 da, please help us. And then he agreed by, you know, word, hand, and all that, shaking hands and just man-to-man work. He agreed on that. The problem is that it's a small town. A lot of people also start, you know, knowing that he was the one doing all the problems, and then they started attacking him on Facebook, on the local radios, on the newspapers, and all that. So he got mad, obviously. He felt betrayed, obviously, and then came every single other year to catch more sharks. in the meanwhile where the SOS project was going. So it was very tough to show the authorities something and everybody some results, because every time we started, this guy came, caught some sharks, and sharks, females, when they are getting killed, they will segregate hormone.
Yeah, exactly. That, sending out hormones.
Yeah, exactly. That tells the other sharks that, ooh, we are in trouble here. Let's move away. So it was very, very tough for those reasons. Yeah. Finally, the guy is working with us after all this organization, and now he's agreed. Last year, he agreed not to catch any more sharks, even signed a legal document. This year, we actually, after involving everybody here in the downtown and cooperating with the project and donations and all these bracelets and stuff, now we're gonna pay him, okay, money, so he will not longer catch, like if we were renting his equipment, right, for the whole season. So that guarantees that there's not gonna be any sharks killed, and that gives him a lot of time to do their things and go give birth, because a lot of the female sharks that he was catching were pregnant, so he was wiping out a whole generation of sharks that takes so many years to get
going. Because most of the sharks we saw on the dive were females, right?
Not most, all of them.
All of them.
All of them were females, yes. And some of them right now, all the big ones that are already pregnant, and you don't look them very pregnant yet. Towards the end of the season, man, they're so big and chubby. They're beautiful. You can see them chins like this and a big belly growing. So beautiful when they're big, big blow-up mamas.
How come it's only female sharks going to this area?
This is something that we're trying to understand and investigate with the whole project. We're tagging them. We have, I think, somewhere around 12 different sharks already tagged and names, and we have their length and approximately age and all that. We have taken tissue samples out of them that are being analyzed. So it's been a lot of things that have been happening. And now we still don't know why exactly they come here. We have a lot of hypotheses. For example, we know that they come here in the winter time. We know that at that same time, the big schools of or runs of amberjack comes at the same time. So we know that animals in general will travel for two reasons. Food and giving birth or reproduction, right? So mainly we already know that for any of those two reasons they are traveling through here. Where do they come from? Where do they go? We do not know exactly yet. Last year we found out, because of our receivers that we have all around the coast, we found out something very interesting. We found out that after they leave here, the last day that we see them over here, they all start moving south and they go to the next little town that is called Akumal, and they might be moving south still more, so we still don't know. We need to get more money, more donations, yeah, right? More. So please help.
Yes.
All right.
Still a lot of work.
It's still a lot of work.
Isn't this typical with sharks that we know so little about them?
Because
every time I go on a shark dive, I get reactions on Facebook and friends and on my cell phone.
Sure.
People say, oh, it's dangerous. Watch out, take care, man, they're going to bite you.
For sure.
I mean, you've done loads of hours with the sharks underwater.
Yes.
Is this the true picture of sharks?
No. Yes. They can be this monster, right? If you see that picture with the big jaws and the teeth out. But that's just a picture that they have been selling you all the time. It is not true. They're not as that, okay? Yes, they're top predators. They're at apex predators. They control populations. They're very important for the ecosystems. But they're not monsters. They're not bad. They hunt, yes. They will hunt as natural predators do, all right? And occasionally there will be accidents with humans, yes. But actually, the real fact is that it happens so little that it's not something that we will have to make all this drama about. But we do, because it sells, right? It sells time on TV. It sells big, nice picture on newspaper, front page, and all of these things, right?
And they look very aggressive with all the
teeth. But when you look at them normally swimming in their natural environment, I mean, you guys did already three dives with them, right? Two successfully, one we didn't saw one. But the beginning we went in the morning, and we went just no fish, no food, nothing to offer. And the sharks just were very relaxed. Just
and curious.
And very curious. Yep. That's their nature, man. Sharks, that's how they have been feeding forever. They have been curious, right? curious to see what's the smell, what's the thing splashing, what's this thing moving, and then they will see, ooh, it might be food, it might be not, study it more. But that's the curiosity that has always led them to find food source. So yes, they're curious. Of course, they're going to come and check it out. And if you find, and if you see them and you follow very simple, you know, animal behavior rules, the sharks are very, very forgiving. They're very willing to interact with us. If you are calm, if you introduce yourself with respect, all of those things that we talked about.
Yeah, and for me, being that close to them, yeah. I mean, they're more than 3 meters long, weighing, I don't know, 200-300 kilos. The biggest one were really huge.
Yeah.
And it's a powerful animal. Yeah, but I wasn't afraid. It was more like they were checking me out, and it was really interesting. And yeah, it was a beautiful feeling.
And it's so funny because you're not alone with this thought. Every single customer that comes to dive with us, at the end of the dive, we ask them, did any of you guys felt any fear or in danger? And their most common answer is obviously no. But they say no, completely the opposite. I felt very secure. I felt very safe. I felt even in peace. And that's what they give you. Sharks give you so much peace when you see them, how perfect they're swimming, the way they are completely mastering everything in their surroundings. They give you peace. That's where I love to be, man. As more sharks that I can be surrounded with and the closer they can be, that's the best place for me, the happiest, most peaceful place that I like. It's absolutely.
Can you see some changes in the population, the amount of sharks? Are the amounts growing or are they diminishing?
We are seeing every year, we always see some new sharks. I have been working with the same sharks for now close to 10 years. And we've seen the same sharks and now we've seen more. Numbers of sharks in the same place have been going differently depending on the year. At the beginning of the seasons, when we were just starting, we saw some few sharks, and then the numbers picked up, and then it picked up down to one day some 25 of them. And then this fisherman caught a few, and then the numbers started going down. And now we're seeing again more than 12, 14, 16, and those numbers. I will guess if no one is coming and catching, and if we can prevent that, I'm pretty sure we're going to start to see more numbers of sharks. This has happened in other places too. Okay.
We had one thing underwater when we were diving with you. Mm-hmm. You started screaming.
Yeah.
It was a happy scream.
Yeah.
And as I understand it, it was something with a shark called Luna.
Yeah. Yeah,
this
yeah.
is an old friend of yours?
This is my most special shark. This is a shark that I'm very, very kind of bond with. This is something that it's not a, I don't know if it's completely real because I understand that the animal does not talk my same language and everything, but some things have happened with her that have happened amazingly without not even plans or thoughts. It just happens. So for some reason I've been always very attached to that shark, and she's been coming back every year. So that's why she's a very special shark. Plus she's beautiful, so I love her. She has a beautiful, very distinctive half moon. Moon in Spanish is Luna. So that's why her name is Luna. Yeah, yeah.
You had this episode where you walked away and fetch her.
One day, early time of the shark feeding, we got to the dive site and there was no sharks. I went out just for a walk to see if I could find any, just out of nowhere. A lot of things that I do under the water just come from, you know, from pure heart, and you don't plan for those things. I was just, I did what I felt I was going to do. And out of nowhere, I see Luna down there, and I got very happy for sure for seeing her. And I just turned around, and in my mind, to me, I said, you know, kind of, yeah, come on, follow me, let's go. And I started walking. I wasn't thinking I was going to be working. I wasn't doing like a dog. It doesn't work that way, right? But I got to the dive site, or close to the dive site. I turned around, and she was right there with me all the time. Got to the dive site, and as soon as she took the first bite of the fish, something happened, and then boom, 11 sharks showed up. Out of nowhere, from I don't know how, so fast. And then it just started, boom, all the sharks swimming. It was beautiful. Very, very cool. I remember this dive like it was yesterday, and it's in my heart, that memory. Very, very cool. And that's another amazing thing of this, is that they give you so many amazing memories. Sharks, all the time, they're giving you something new.
Why?
Yeah, right. And how, when you first integrated with Luna, mm-hmm. and you say there were nine more sharks coming at the same time, are they communicating in some way, or was it just that when she felt safe, she was like, okay, this is a safe place, let's come and, or...
Honestly, man, I cannot tell you that is that and this is it. It has to be, I am the thinking that has to be proved scientifically, da da da. But there's got to be some way of communication, like in all the animal kingdom.
Yeah, you know, there's colors, wings,
exactly.
They are
all this. So I think, yes, I think there's some way they communicate by hormones, by movements. I don't know what it is, but for some reason, it was no sharks. I'm telling you, not even a cloud of sand of them, nothing. There was nothing to see, just sand for a good 10 minutes before I saw her, came back, and then as soon as she came back, grabbed the first piece of fish, boom, 11 sharks came. I am more of the idea that maybe when she bite or bit on the fish, at that moment there's a sound, or she releases some kind of happiness of eating, like we do when we eat the first bite and we go, maybe, I don't know, you know? But it was very, very, very exact. Bite, boom, sharks.
All right, sweet.
There's a lot of facts people know about sharks, about the teeth growing out and the lateral lines, and these are typical things that people know about sharks. But you told us tons of other information that was new to me.
Yeah, yeah.
And one of those things was how they were giving to babies, and also with the with the smell that they actually could smell.
They have amazing senses, and of course for their domain underwater they are extremely advanced and just perfect, man. We know that they have been here on Earth for millions of years, but they stopped evolving 150 million years. They've reached their peak. They reached perfection. They don't need anything else. And of course, all of them help them to become apex predators, right? And one of what they relay a lot is smell. And we're in the middle of that. We gotta understand that we are right in the middle of the street. If this were like New Year's Eve, man, down there to the south, it's packed with thousands of people. To walk two blocks, it takes 1 hour.
All right.
1 hour, and I'm not kidding. Yes, man, it's crazy. And there's DJs every corner. It's crazy. But anyway, let's go back to sharks. One of the how they smell is basically, and it's very advanced, is they will not just go like food there and then go straight there. What happens is that they can detect the smell, and then they say something like 3 millimeters of blood out of 3, 4, 5 whatever miles around. They will smell it, yes, and then they will start tracking, like in waves or U-turns, you know, or big circles, until they can get it closer to narrow it down, and then they will find the spot. Incredible sense. Smell, incredible. They have something called the ampulla of Lorenzini. These are little black dots all around their snouts, and that's where they will feel electromagnetic fields and pulses, and that's how they can navigate through the waters. That's how they can also feel other fish, you know, electrically. So it's just amazing. So, so well prepared and evolved.
Yeah, they are. They are really amazing. Really, really.
Yeah, like you said, they stopped evolving, what, like 150
million
years.
That's what scientists say.
Yeah.
That's what I've read or something like that. Maybe more or less, give or take.
Compared to us,
they're so much more advanced. We are so wrong that we are the advanced species of this world. And I still believe that we're not. It's a mistake.
Yeah.
But some of us, like, we're not so wrong. We're here still to fight for them and do something about it. I as soon as I started getting more involved with them and falling more in love and reading, interested, and meeting more people that are with the same passion, I said I was never going to stop until I do something for them. They're protected, they're safe. And all of this is just, every day of my life is just sprinting with energy that I want to do something for them. And it's as many people as I can talk and just, you know, spread that message. I'm happy. I'm extremely happy to do that.
And we've really seen this every time we interact and talk to you about trucks. It's like a fire in your eyes. I like it. I mean, we could go on for hours
for
talking
sure,
about
man,
this.
For
so
sure.
We got a barbecue coming up behind us.
Yeah,
a lot of divers.
Almost ready. And I gotta go cook, man. I have
a
good friend.
You're gonna
here
be chef tonight also.
I'm gonna be cooking.
So
yeah.
A big thank you for being here with us.
Thank you very much. Everybody.
I would encourage everybody to go to Phantom Divers and do this dive.
Yes.
It was
yes,
marvelous.
Please. Do it. Do it for the sharks.
Yeah, no. Now you have to read your last name as well. It's Carlos and Estrabo.
Estrabo. Yeah.
That's
excellent.
All
come, everybody come to Phantom Divers, Playa del Carmen, Mexico. You're all invited to our little town. It's a great town, it's a great place, safe place. Don't believe the news.
seriously, really,
yeah.
Really safe.
We have
been out here during night time. And we haven't even heard about, you know, fighting or nothing.
Mexico,
it's been more
Mexico, and I guess like everywhere else, just your local news will try to sell you all this bullshit. Just don't go to Syria. I know right now in all those places. I'm sorry for all the people, but the rest of the world, we're not that crazy, man. We're chill, cool people, safe.
Yeah. All right, we're gonna let you go.
No,
thanks,
man.
So
thank
much.
You very
thank
much.
You very much, man. Thank you.
Really nice to have
great.
You here.
Thank you very much.
Oj, vi switchar tillbaka till
svenska.
Svenska en liten stund. Och bara rundar av det här.
Ja, precis.
Jag är väldigt sugen på den här grillen som de gör där på oss. Det ska bli riktigt nice.
Ja, det gör det att göra. Alltså, helt klart.
Vi har alltså ägaren till Phantom Divers som står och sticker upp någon form av tacokött här och grejer. Och någon grillar. Det blir jävligt spännande.
Ja, det är så spännande.
Vi har haft en fantastisk vecka.
Ja,
vi har haft en underbara dyk och hajdyken står högst upp på min lista, helt klart.
Ja, det är
ju en väldigt stor del.
Cenotes.
Cenotes
också.
Ja. Makalöst produkt.
Verkligen. Så vi kan väl bara säga det, alltså besök sos.org.
Ja.
Saving our sharks.
Ja.
Och det är de forskar ju på det samtidigt kan man väl säga. Alltså pengarna som de drar in har de ju för att studera och förstå hajen bättre då. Och det var också en kul grej som man sa, tyckte jag, det där alltså det är genuina att om jag börjar ändra deras beteende säger han, då kommer jag ju sluta med detta. Alltså för då känner han ju så att han har ett jävla engagemang har han.
Det är precis som fiskarna rensar sina fisk och kastar i, alltså det är inte så att de matar dem för att de ska bli mätta.
Nej,
de matar dem bara för att de ska komma så pass nära så vi får se och uppleva dem.
Precis.
Det tycker jag väldigt, alltså det är seriöst, det kändes väldigt seriöst när vi satt dem nere på botten.
Och Och framförallt säkert.
Ja,
definitivt.
Otroligt uppstyrt.
Ja. Även om jag var, och så kom fram till 3 centimeter ifrån.
Ja,
alltså.
Det var så sjukt nära. Det var riktigt
härligt. Ja. Nej, det var kul. Riktigt bra.
Ja.
Ja.
Lite, vi ska klämma in
sig. Ska vi klämma in något annat? Cenotesdyk.
Ja, det skulle vi kunna ha ett helt program.
Ja,
det var bra.
Det kan man
helt fantastiskt.
Rekommendera definitivt. Det var,
ja, man kanske ska säga det. Man behöver inte vara avancerad jävla grottdykare
för
att göra det. Tvärtom. Det finns väldigt många delar i Cenotes som är cavern, öppen blå yta och sådär. Ja, du ser, nu drar de igång styrorna.
Ja, bra avslutning.
Bra avslutningslåt. Nej då, vi får snacka mer om det helt enkelt.
Vid
annat tillfälle. Det här var ju liksom mer för att sprida lite budskapet.
Ja, så hela tur att vi fick med Carlos.
Ja, precis.
Det är riktigt skönt.
Precis. You want to say something? Say hi.
Hola.
Hola. Okay. Oh, that's good.
Okay.
That's the owner. Okay. Good. Everything's good. And you're the owner. Yeah. Is he a good diver as well?
Excellent diver. Excellent boy.
Sweet.
Very good attitude.
We just want to thank you for the amazing amazing week. Yeah, it's been really good. Really good. We are super happy.
You've been a good group, you know. So with attitude since day number one, you know, smiling, happy, having fun, to have a good time.
Yeah.
I think that makes good diving for
everybody. Yeah, exactly, exactly. And we're just telling them, telling about the Cenotes dives that you do, that it's safe, and the shark dives, they are safe. And
you're very good organization.
Yeah.
Everything is
very... Besides the din tank.
Yeah, but you can't be 100% all the time.
I'm sorry for that, man. But
no, there's no worries.
I think everything
maybe we can mention that if you go into Mexico, you should maybe have a Dean
adapter. Check the dive center before.
Yeah.
Before bringing an adapter. At least we got to dive.
Yeah. Amazing week. So we want to thank you as well.
You're very welcome.
And well,
all right. Yeah, I don't know about you guys, but I'm gonna go drink it.
You're gonna drink.
It's beer time.
Beer time.
There's meat ready. Yeah, get some tortillas.
And it smells great.
Guacamole.
Yeah. Yeah, real guacamole. And
real
one. And I've been looking for this for the whole week, you know. Okay. Yeah. Thank you very much, sir. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, då. Då
säger vi hej då.
Ja, det gör vi. Hej då.